podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network.
Hello and welcome to your first World Cup 2022 stream brought to you by Fantasy Football Scout. You are joined by me, Andy, FPL Mode, and we're also joined by Gianni Baticci. How's it going?
Hello, mate. I'm really good. I'm glad to be up chatting with you this evening because I feel like we barely ever chat. So this will be a nice opportunity speaking. I know about a game that I'm really excited about. I'll just tell you before we went on air, I'm super excited for this one.
Yeah, it's going to be good. I mean, literally the last time we did anything together was on the official pod, and that's the first time for like a year, 2 years. Yeah. So it's going to be great to actually do a few things together. I think you never know, we might even do another one at some point for the World Cup. But talk to us, how excited are you about the World Cup?
Yeah, man, I know, like with no Italy, it is weird. But I mean, I say that, Italy didn't take part in the 2018 World Cup either.
I know. No Italy, what are you going to do then? So normally you'd have three Italy, wouldn't you? So what are you going to do?
The last time Italy played in a World Cup was the game Suarez bit Chiellini in 2014. Ooh. That's how, like, it's going to be like nearly a decade since Italy last played in a World Cup. But yeah, I mean, I would be tripling up on the Italians, you're quite right. Maybe to my detriment. But I actually think it will probably work slightly to my advantage this World Cup, that I won't have any club bias, because everyone's going to have a club bias, right? I won't. Because I really don't know who I'm supporting. I've got money on Spain. I like Serbia and Poland because they have more Serie A players than any other team. And other than that, I'm like, meh.
Fair enough. I mean, it's going to be interesting tonight because obviously this is the first stream that I did do a stream with the above average guys last week, and that was great because that was my first one, but not all the squads were announced. The website was a bit hit and miss, although it's still a bit hit and miss. We'll talk about that in a minute. This is my first, like, it's getting exciting. We've almost got 100 people in the chat. People are saying this is like, you know, Euros again. Like, we've got that buzz about FPL's finished. We're now kind of getting into that World Cup fantasy and it's going to be great. Tonight, we're going to talk about the game. We're going to talk about the website, talk about the boosts and what we're thinking and early thoughts and things like that. We've got our first drafts to look at as well, which is quite exciting. But then, of course, when you look at FPL, there's such a lead up to it. Whereas with the World Cup, we've got 5 days. That's literally it. We wake up tomorrow morning, it's 4 days. Just start us off then. What do you think about the game at the moment? There's obviously the different boosts. There's different ways of playing it. What do you think about the game?
Yeah, it's healthy. I like the short lead up. That's healthy. Like, we tinker for far too long in FPL and often just get ourselves in a tizz. So having the 5 days is brilliant. First impressions of the game were, I love the chips. I love the three chips. They're chips I'm not familiar with. Like, I haven't played the Champions League game ever, the official one. I've never done the official Euros game. I've played various fan team games. So I haven't got used to a huge amount of chips other than what we've seen in FPL. So these are really different, right? Like, I love the 12th man idea. The double captaincy points is a cool one as well. So yeah, I like the chips. The wild card I'm not so sure is needed in a game like this. Like, knowing we all get the wild card for the last 16 as well, I don't necessarily think two wild cards are needed for 7 rounds of fixtures, as well as other chips, as well as two transfers at least as a minimum every week. So I don't necessarily feel like that wild card's needed, but it allows us to be maybe a little bit more tactical and a bit more strategic.
And I'm not going to lie, obviously we're doing content about this. There's still some bits of here that are a little bit fuzzy to me in terms of, sometimes I think their explanations of the boosts and things like that aren't the best yet. So we're still trying to work it out. Like 12th man, I only found out today it can be any player. It doesn't have to be a player in your team, which I didn't realize.
You don't want it to be a player in your team, do you? You want it to be that ideally it's a fourth player of one certain country. You've already got triple up in your team because you fancy England against Iran. You're going to go, well, I'm going to go Harry Kane as well and make it four.
Oh, what's the other word? Captaincy. I'm still a bit all over the place with captaincy in terms of how that's going to work. You might be able to explain it a bit more for me. In the Euros, it used to be a different match day. You could pick a new captain if you wanted to. Whereas this one, it's unlimited times you can change it.
Yeah.
But once you've changed it, you can't change it again. Is that right?
I think once you've changed it, you can't go back. But I think you can keep changing. Lovely. And again, I think that's fine. Can change it up to... I don't think they've been crystal clear with this, but I read somewhere yesterday you can change it a couple of times within the same match day, within the same day. And obviously at times we've got four fixtures a day. It's like you want to possibly change. throughout the day. It does make you think, though, this game more than ever, with all those changes and the substitution changes, you need to be on your app because you're going to be out and about, not at your desktop all the time, right? I'm certainly not planning on being on my desktop for 1 week when I'm actually in Qatar. I'm going to be relying on my phone. And at the moment, I can't even use the app. So it's like, okay, there still needs a little bit of work to be done. I'm going to need that app.
And we'll say it now, like the website, it's not completely finished yet by the looks of things, is it? There's a lot of squads that aren't on there. I think Denmark don't have a keeper on there yet. There's a lot of things that aren't quite finished yet. So keep up with it and keep going, because obviously in a couple of days, hopefully you can pick a full squad. But, you know, for all us people that are going to be engaged with it, it should give us a bit of an advantage because we're going to keep looking as the day's going on, aren't we? So it'll get there eventually.
Yeah. Oh, okay. It does look like Nuclear Atoms in the chat, who is often a reliable source, does say you can only change captaincy one single time. Okay, that's also good.
Yeah, I like that bit. And actually, I think they've done that because of the captaincy boost, where you'll get your best captain that day, won't you? It'll go on. So I'm assuming they've done it because of that. Nuclear Atoms, by the way, is saying this brings back Euro vibes. Unfortunately, I listened to Andy and I listened to him and his bad advice. I'm hoping for a turn of fortunes. Well, I did all right in that one. Before we have a look at our drafts, I just need to say there is a Sky Fantasy game that's for the World Cup as well. Free to enter, 10 grand prize, lovely stuff. You can play that if you want to. Literally, you could just quickly sign up. I don't know any of the rules because I'm not playing it, but you can have a go at that. And the second thing, these are all free things and you get money prizes if you win. World Cup prediction game from Scout, £500 to the winner. Worth doing, isn't it? It's free, worth doing, you never know. So give both of those a go if you fancy it. So I've just brought my team up on the screen. I don't know whether this is going out as a pod, but I'll read it out anyway. So I've got Alisson in goal. I've got Danilo in defence with Dumfries and Oliveira from Uruguay. I got Musiala in midfield for Germany. I've got Eriksen from Denmark, Di Maria from Argentina, and then Bergwijn from Netherlands. And then I've got Messi, Richarlison and Mbappe up front. I've got Roche on the bench with Sosa, 3.5 million Sosa is ridiculous with a starting left back for Croatia. Mela and then Rodrigo De Paul on the bench as well. Don't get me wrong, this is not set up in terms of match days or anything yet. So this is not set up thinking about who's playing first. Make sure you have the other people on the bench. So obviously my Brazilian players will probably be on the bench there. But I'm pretty happy with the way this team's looking. In terms of players that I will definitely have in my team when we lock in, Dumfries will definitely be in there, 100%. He's ridiculous in terms of his output for a right back. Like, so he'll definitely be in there. Musiala, I just fancy him this tournament. I feel like he's going to have a really good tournament. He's been incredible for Bayern so far this season. I want to have double Argentina, and I don't want to have Martinez up front, Lautaro Martinez, because I want Richarlison and Mbappe. So I've gone with Di Maria in midfield. Now, I don't think that's a bad shout, but obviously I feel like Martinez could get more points, but I'm struggling to get him into my my front line. Bergwijn's a lock because I love him playing up top for Netherlands in a lovely lovely group that they've got. Messi, I mean, it's so hard not to pick Messi, isn't it? And then Richarlison, because I want Brazil, and obviously 7.5 million, he's probably going to be leading the line. And then Mbappe. Sosa, Mela, they're going to be in my team. Mela's, again, ridiculous price, 4.5 million. Sosa, they're 3.5 million. So majority of this is kind of locked, but there's a few little bits that I might be changing as I go on. I mean, I see you kind of leaning in every now and again to look at my team. What's your initial thoughts on my team? I know we've got some similarities, but we've got some differences as well, haven't we?
Yeah. I can't wait to get into this, mate. I'm going to rip it apart.
Stop it.
I'm going to start with a negative because otherwise I'm just going to be blowing smoke.
Give me a poo sandwich. It's going to be nice.
All right, let's start. Let's go Denzel Dumfries. Cracking shout. He's been in my Serie A fantasy team. Of course he has been all season. He's a wing back, but a wide forward. It's like watching Prime Alonso on the other side. So we like that. And we'll have fond memories of the likes of Dumfries, Amala or Mela from the Euros, who obviously got loads of points then when you played the Euros games. But at fullback, it's interesting you've gone for Danilo because he's not nailed. And he should be nailed for me. I'm not going to tell the Brazil manager how to manage, but he would be my right back. But I think it was their last friendly they had a really interesting formation, and I think it was the back four. I think they played Militao at right back, Marquinhos and Thiago Silva at centre back, mm-hmm. and Telles left back. And I look at that Brazil back line and think, how are Telles and Militao your fullbacks when you have Alexandro, who I really like as a left back at Juve, and Danilo, who since he left Man City, and he's been really good at Man City, again, someone I've had quite a bit in Serie A fantasy. So I'll be interested to see what they do there with their fullbacks. But yeah, it was an interesting formation that day. He played a back four, and then he actually had Neymar and Paqueta both in midfield as number eight, with I think it was either Fred or Casemiro as a four. And then a front three of Vinicius Jr., Rafinha and Richarlison. And I think that will be the front three with Neymar slightly deeper. So, look, Brazil are going to be amazing. Of course they are. But if Danilo doesn't start, that will cost you a bit because he's so expensive. But maybe you wait and see after the first game. We have the transfers. I love the Musiala pick. I've gone there too. Bergwijn's an interesting one too because, like, since he's gone back to Holland, goals, goals, goals. We love that. Yeah. Depay and Bergwijn up front together, maybe. But then there's Gakpo as well, who's had an amazing season. Does he get in the 11? Does he get in the 11 as a number 10? And all three play, maybe. So again...
And we know Depay's not playing the first game, don't we?
Yeah, I think he's a bit disappointed with that. And it was so Louis van Gaal to come out and tell everyone that he's not playing.
So
the front three is awesome, mate. Like, I am worried about not going with Messi. Richarlison's Brazil's number nine for 7.5. It feels like a gimme. And Mbappe, I feel like I have to own. I must admit, I've completely missed the trick there, knowing there's a starting left back at Croatia for 3.5 million. So that's pretty locked in, is it, you think?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, if you look at other fantasy games, he's like 5.56 million. I think they've done that wrongs for some reason. I mean, 3.5 as well.
I've got to go there then. That saves me a million on somewhere else, right?
Yeah, exactly. So, and I mean, Mailer as well, 4.5 million. Just seems ridiculous value.
So underpriced. He's got something like 10 goals in 30 games. And annoyingly, for Atalanta, he's not that good. But when he plays for Denmark, he's a machine.
Yeah, no, I do like him. I mean, in terms of things that I'm worried about with this team, is I am worried with how many people are going to go with Neymar. And I was going to ask you about Neymar in terms of qualifying and his stats going into it. You know, he's well above everybody else in terms of the Brazil team, in terms of goal contributions, but he's so expensive with players like Messi and Mbappe. You know, people go, I haven't even got De Bruyne or anybody like that. I haven't got any Belgians in my team. Do you feel like that's an oversight, or do you feel like he's too expensive for people to own?
I don't know. The scoring system's interesting, isn't it? Because he's listed as a... Is this as a forward who get the same amount of points as a midfielder for a goal? They both get plus five. You get plus two for winning a penalty. I can see Neymar winning at least one penalty in the group stages.
Really?
It feels like 2 points. I don't know. He's pricey. And the fact he's not playing in a front three, it's going to be Rafinha, Vinicius Jr. and Richarlison front three. So sure, it'll be all out attack. It's Brazil. But he's not going to be one of the three most attacking. I mean, he would be just behind that. But perhaps you'll see a few assists of the assists. I don't know. I would love Neymar. But again, it's a tricky group. Now, Brazil were going to top the group, I'm sure of it. But I don't think they've got a game in there where they go and win 4-5-0. I think it's Cameroon, their last group game, the third, which is the easier one. But, you know, Serbia's a really tough opponent in that first group game. So I'm swerving Brazil for the first group game because I like Serbia. And then maybe I'll look to recruit Brazil if they look good in that opening game.
Yeah, and I won't lie. That's one thing that's making me a little bit sketchy about having double Brazil defence, because Serbia are just going to attack. All of their strength is in their attack. Their defence is pretty shoddy. And it's all about their attack. So having that double Brazil defence with a Serbian team that knows they've got to go all out in every game, it feels a little bit shaky, if I'm honest. Nuclear Atoms, who's very, very chatty in the chat, by the way, he's on it today. He's mentioned Trossard for Belgium. 5.5 million in the game. If Hazard is struggling with his... If Hazard is struggling for his fitness, that position's Trossard's, isn't it?
Yeah, I think so. I've done so many drafts, I can't remember if he's in my team or not that we're going to show. But super cheap. I just think with Trossard, if he is a starter, then that's an absolute gift at 5.5. And Canada in that first game, could be a really good one for Belgium. So I think he's worth the risk because, look, worst case scenario, he comes off the bench. But knowing we can make changes to our bench, it's almost, it feels like it's worth a punt. And Hazard's been so poor. It is worth bearing in mind, I'm pretty sure, I could be wrong, it's worth checking, I'm pretty sure Hazard's the captain for Belgium. Which is weird because he's never really struck me as a captain, Hazard. And there are clear and obvious leaders in that team. Yeah. But Martinez clearly, is, if he's made him captain, you'd think he's going to start him. Is there space for both of them? Possibly. The wing-backs at Belgium, bearing in mind they do often play with wing-backs, at the moment you look at it and go, there's Meunier there, and there's, I mean, there's Castagna, but he's, I don't think he'll be a starter. There's Yannick Carrasco, who's listed as a midfielder. Meunier's listed as a defender. I just wonder if Trossard could be shifted to a wing-back position because he's done well under Potter at wing-back. I know it's not his favourite position, but in the games when they're playing the teams like Canada, those wing-backs will be wide forwards. They won't be wing-backs. It'll be a back three and a very much a midfield five. So worth perhaps still looking at. I think there's a few avenues of Trossard getting in the 11 with or without Hazard.
Yeah, and these Belgium wing-backs are tough as well because there's so many players that can play in those positions, like you just mentioned. Like Trossard can play there. They've got Thorgan Hazard that plays there sometimes as well. So they've got a few. And it's such an exciting team, but it's going to be tough to pick those Belgian ones. I mean, De Bruyne is somebody that we've mentioned already as well. I did have him in my early teams, but it seems so easy to get rid of him. What's your take on De Bruyne? Has he been in any of your drafts? I'll bring up your draft after this as well.
Yeah, I think he's been in every one. I like the key passes metric. You get points for key passes. And I just think De Bruyne for key passes, that's why he does so. It's one of the reasons why he does so well in the FPL bonus point system. That 32 metrics to the bonus points, but key passes is one De Bruyne, you've got to think, comes up on top every single time. So again, I think it's plus one for every two key passes, but that'll add up. And I think he'll be pretty attacking for Belgium. I think he'll play in that role just behind the number nine, and therefore I expect goals. But yeah, the Belgium launch video was interesting, Andy. I'm sure when I saw it, they listed it as, rather than just go defenders, midfielders, forwards, they did like centre-backs, wing-backs. So again, like you're right, pointing out so many wing-backs, and Thorgan Hazard was one of them. Yeah. And yeah, it just shows how important it is to their system and their role that they're actually making a deal in their launch video, calling wing-back a position rather than just defenders, as the England team video showed.
Yeah, definitely. And actually, you reminded me as well, I think Hazard came out today and said, I don't know why I'm not playing for Real Madrid. He said, I'm fit and I can play. So I'm assuming he'll be fit to play for Belgium. Whether he's just saying that to basically say, I really want to play in the World Cup, or whether he's just saying it to say, you know, actually, I don't have a clue. I'm not sure. But let's bring up your team then. So we got your team on the screen now. Five at the back at the moment, but obviously you've got you've actually got your bench set up, haven't you?
Yeah, I think my Belgian players on the bench, but just knowing that they're playing late in the day.
You've got De Bruyne in the middle and Trossard on the bench.
Okay, I've got one Belgium. I think I've literally done it on fixtures. So the three outfield players playing at the end of match day one are all on the bench.
Yeah.
So then I'm ready to bring them in if I need to. If cool. Anyone in my 11 blanks. With the substitution rule, Andy, are we thinking if your player blanks or doesn't score the points you want them to score and you want to substitute them, you can. So you can use all three of those substitute spots if you want to. That's right, isn't it?
Yeah, 100%. Yeah. Obviously, I was quite surprised you got Cillessen in goal.
Yeah.
Not there, is he?
Oh, is he not?
No, he hasn't been called up.
You're kidding me.
No.
So what, is Tim Krul going to come out of retirement and play? I know he's
not. No, it's, is it Jasvir? Is that his name? I can't remember his name now. Jasvir, something like that. But yeah, Cillessen's not going to be there. So it's, yeah.
That's an absolute stinker. I just assumed that because he was listed in the game, he had been called up. But yeah, okay. Yeah.
To be fair, I mean, Reece James is in the game.
Didn't know that either.
So you've got Cillessen, you've got Tagliafico, who is also tough. I'm not sure whether he's definitely going to be left back. So that's interesting. Trippier, lovely. I'll go through him and then I'll talk about him. You've got Dumfries, you've got Mela, you've got Luke Shaw. Then you've got Bergwijn, Musiala, De Bruyne, and Mbappe and Lautaro Martinez up top. And then you've got Trossard, Richarlison and Kostic. Lovely, shout that one, Kostic, on the bench there as well. With Dimitrovic in goal as well. Just talk us through your team a little bit before I rip into it.
It's like, I'll take your Danilo and I'll raise you a Tagliafico.
Yeah.
And not in the 11. I mean, the Dutch goalkeeper, whoever he is, I think I'll probably go there because I just fancy Holland. And I like the idea of doubling up in these games. When there's only 7 match days, it's a little bit like when you play sort of fan team, as you and I have done over the years, Andy. It's worth stacking, going big on committing to teams, whether that's the Dutch defence or the Argentine attack or whatever you fancy. I've got double Holland, if you look at the goalkeeper and Dumfries, as well as double England at the back. And I just fancy the groups, and I quite like the fixtures. As much as I like Marla at Denmark, and the first fixture's good, I'm not expecting much from match day 2 and 3, because I think that could be seen as a tough group. Argentina, I do need to do a little bit of research into that back line. And it's weird, we're going into a World Cup and picking our fantasy teams without any friendlies. And look, this works for FPL. Imagine going into the FPL, even game week 1, with new signings and new managers and not seeing them pre-season. You'd make a few errors. So I'm glad look, if you're watching these streams and you're listening to Andy's advice and hopefully a bit of my advice, then maybe we can help give you a steer on a few players. But I'll definitely be doing some of my own research now. You've raised that on Tagliafico. See how many people put him in their starting 11s and maybe read some Argentine press on Google Translate if I can. the defence is all fullbacks, pretty much. That's where centre-backs maybe have a higher chance of scoring goals. And you do get +7 for a goal, not +6 for a defender. Yeah. But some of these fullbacks are on set pieces too. So Trippier's goal threat is increased because he'll be on direct free kicks. And we've seen him score big direct free kicks for England before. Croatia caught semi-final, I think it was. Yeah. Midfield, Bergwijn, there's goals in him. I'm sure of it. And he's cheap. I was surprised how cheap he is. I think he's 7.5. Mm-hmm. Musiala's been more goal involvements, I think, than any other player in the Bundesliga this season. He's been flying. And he looked so good in that Germany-friendly against England in that first half. I thought he looked really sharp. And so good for Bayern in the champs. I don't watch any Bundesliga, but I do watch Bayern in the champs. He's been electric. De Bruyne, I love the key passes and I really like that first fixture. I'm not sure if De Bruyne will stay long, but that Canada fixture could be a big high-ceiling pick. Mbappe is just going to, it feels like a set and forget. When you play like Mbappe in a league that's a good league, but not a great league, he doesn't get the platform to perform every week. It's a little bit like Man versus Boys for him in that league. So I often think when Mbappe plays Champions League, it's probably a bigger deal for Mbappe than it is for some of the other players that play in the Premier League and have a big fixture every weekend. So when Mbappe plays in a World Cup, and we've seen this before in a World Cup, I just feel like, again, you get that extra 5-10%, because for him, it's like, not only am I the world's best kid, I'm better than that guy you all rave about in the Premier League called Erling Haaland. Not only am I absolutely elite, but this is my platform. This is my chance to really show you. Because all of you lot just say I play in a Farmers League in France, and it doesn't mean anything when I score against Nice. Well, it will mean something when he scores against Australia in that match day 1. And I expect him to go big. The bench is pretty useful. Brazil's number 9. Lautaro Martinez, Argentina's number 9. Both cheaper than I thought they'd be. Trossard's a punt. And Kostic gets loads of assists.
Yeah, I like Kostic. Really like that one. In terms of just a few questions, and then I'll talk to you a little bit about your boost strategy. Mbappe or Benzema? Because Benzema is a little bit cheaper, just a little bit, but obviously he's just won the Ballon d'Or, had an absolutely incredible season. And if you look at the Euros, you could argue that Benzema had a better Euros than Mbappe, and Mbappe kind of flattered to deceive quite a bit. Would you go there? Would you go for Benzema over it? Or do you have to factor in the fact that Mbappe is probably going to be one of the most owned players in this game?
I just think Benzema's injury problems have been a little bit iffy. So he's missed quite a bit of football this season at Real Madrid. Mbappe's been flying. Last season I would have been tempted. Certainly the end of last season, what Benzema was doing in the Champions League was just ridiculous. Absolutely deserves the Ballon d'Or. But yeah, rewind 6 months and I'd have gone Benzema. But what we're seeing now, if I'm going off form, if I'm going off the last few months, for me, it's Mbappe, and it's that world stage of going, I'm the main man here. And he has a huge ego. I heard a story recently about the the image rights of the French team. And he walked in one day and was just like, I've had enough. This isn't right. I'm not doing all these ads for all these companies I'm not actually working for. And it got to a point where I think Mbappe had a private meeting with Deschamps and they had to literally rip up agreements and start again. He dictates everything in that squad.
Yeah, ridiculous. Also, is it going to be Wednesday, Thursday, Friday or Saturday that you put Messi in?
So I guess that's the compromise when you pick Lissandro Martinez. I've done that knowing that will kind of in a weird way block me from Messi because I don't think I'll want the double up knowing I've got Tagliafico as well and there are so many other great attacking options. And Messi will be amazing, just like Neymar will be amazing. But we can get the Brazil and Argentina number nines for considerably less. We're not talking $500,000 less. Yeah. You're saving probably $5 million across those two teams by going down to their number nines. And if the number nines are getting service from Messi and Neymar, they're going to score tons of goals. So yeah, I fancy the number nines in this tournament.
Interesting. Going on to your defence just very quickly. I didn't have any England players. You've got Trippier and Shaw. Is that mainly to do with the first fixture? Or is it to do with the fact you fancy England and obviously deep down you are really an England fan?
you had that question well done. I don't know. I thought you were going to say, is it because they're playing wing back? And my answer to you was going to be Gareth's wing backs are like everyone else's full backs. They don't really pass the halfway line. So I had to get that one in. But look, I mean, I think England will keep loads of clean sheets. I think they keep two clean sheets out of three, possibly all three. I can't see. USA have been so poor. Wales-England's a big game, but I think it will be tight. I mean, look, Kiefer Moore, maybe, the way he's been playing for Bournemouth. But I wouldn't be surprised to see three clean sheets for England. And I do think Trippier, the way he's been playing this season at Newcastle, plus the set piece threat, Trippier was one of the first names on my team sheet, if I'm honest. And I just feel like Shaw compliments him quite nicely. And again, it's a little bit like you've only got seven game weeks to go big. Where you see small gains, go for the double up. And I'm very happy with that England double up. I must admit, I even looked at Pickford on a triple up, but I don't want to block myself from a Kane or even a Sterling's only 8.5, Andy. And Sterling's been useless of late, but for England, he always does a job. And I did have Sterling in my draft for a while. 8.5 listed as a forward, but he'll start. And yeah, he's someone that could go score a brace against Iran quite comfortably.
So leading on from that then, in terms of your boost strategy, we've got 12th man where you can pick an extra player, any extra player you want. Budget doesn't matter. You've got wildcard, which most people are thinking about using in match day three, which I think is sensible because of all the rotation. What are you doing in terms of your boost strategy?
Yeah, I'm looking at wildcard will be match day three or the quarterfinals. It's a tough one, that. If you do quarterfinals with wildcard, you get the last 16 wildcard, which everyone gets, will feel like a free hit because you'll be free, which could be really fun to add a free hit into this game. The boost, I must admit, I did look at Messi as a boost for the first game week, knowing I've got Lissandro Martinez. Again, I think Harry Kane is a possible boost for that Iran fixture. I think there's a good chance I use boost match day one. And then the captain, the double points captain, match day two feels like a good possible time for that. But again, I'm not sold on that. I do want to use the chips early or the boosts early, because when we get down to the quarters and semis, as soon as you're playing good opposition each time, that big ceiling return for some of those big players just for me drops instantly based on opposition.
Yeah, big time. I mean, I think I think match day one and match day two are great for the two normal boosts, for the 12th man and the double captain. I think they're great. The wild card, I think, like you said, there's either two ways to go. You either use it in match day three because of all the rotation and because for the group A, you're going to know the teams before you have to lock in, which is massive as well.
Because
deadline is when it kicks off, basically. So you'll know all of group A, which is quite nice. And there will be rotation. Like there was in the Euros. It was horrendous. Or you somehow have an okay team for match day three, because maybe all the groups still have to be decided, because you never know, that might happen. And then in the round of 16, you hope that, like what happened in the Euros, France and Spain got knocked out. Yeah. Everybody else has picked their teams and they've got triple France, triple Spain, whatever it is. and then you're sitting pretty because you've used your wild card and you've got a team full of players. So I think there's two ways of going for it. You either hope for chaos before the knockout stages start, or you hope for chaos after it, I think. So it'd be interesting which way it goes. I'm probably leaning towards using wild card in match day three.
Are you?
Yeah, but if match day two finishes and
don't need it, yeah,
and we don't need it, then we get to keep it, obviously. You know, if all the groups, everybody's on like 3 points, 4 points, whatever it is, then I think you can probably keep it. But if you've already got teams like Belgium, Brazil, Argentina, and we're all completely fill up with them, and they've all qualified already with 6 points, I think it's going to be tough to not use it. The rotation's going to kill us, isn't it?
Do we know... Can you roll... So you get two transfers between match day one and two and then two and three, right?
Yeah.
So if, for example, you rolled your transfers, you could go into that match day three with four, or can you only roll one of your two?
Only one.
Do you know the answer? So you could have three transfers ready for match day mm-hmm. three if you didn't want to... If you didn't feel like you needed to wild card, which again, I am looking at rolling at least one of my two transfers, I think, in an ideal world. And again, that's why we're building 15-man squads, also because of the substitution rule. We're all going to have fairly strong benches, which should reduce the need for transfers. If 1 week you go, I just need to get a good 11 out. Yeah. I love the idea of a free hit in the last 16. And it feels like a free hit if wild card in the quarterfinals. Because you would be wildcarding for the last 16, knowing you've still got a wildcard up your sleeve. And there's no way you would go, oh, I'm going to wildcard in for the semis, because I just don't think that will be needed with all the extra transfers we get for those latter rounds. And hopefully there's some fairly predictable ties and not too many upsets. But I think if I was to make a call now, I'd say I'm more likely to wildcard in the quarters. But again, I won't rule out that much day three.
And I will say as well, with these kind of tournaments, with how short they are, you need to get ahead quickly. In terms of, you've got, for me, I think power captain could maybe be used later on, because getting that edge over, getting your best player to have that captaincy is great, but you need to get ahead early on. So I think you need, you know, use those group stages well, because that's where all the points are going to be. And then straight away after, you know, in the round of 16, that's probably your last opportunity to really be different to everybody else and try and get more points. Because after that, all the teams are going to start looking so similar. So getting ahead early, I think, is going to be really important.
How does that power captain work, Andy, with substitutions of captains? So you can still make the same substitute, which is what, one captain switch?
Yeah, I think as long as they're in your 11, then you can use power captain, if that makes sense.
Okay.
So yeah, if they're on your bench, I don't think...
your best scoring player of the game week, of the match day.
Yeah, basically. But they have to be in your 11, yeah. Which, you know, makes sense. I think it's quite fun, actually. I think that could be quite an interesting one. And like I said, I'm assuming that's why they've changed the captaincy round and not done it as a every match day you can change. I think it is literally you can only change it once, from what a lot of people are saying in the chat.
Match day one, I'm not ruling out match day one either for that boost there. Because you sometimes see some of those big... I'm just trying to think back to World Cups. I probably can't name you any fixtures off the top of my head, but it feels like that first match day in World Cup, you see some big scores. And also, looking at the fixtures, of course, you look at the teams and there are a fair few good options to go big. Like, is it Mbappe, or is it an Argentina player, an England player? Even you know, I've got Musiala, or Bergwijn, or De Bruyne. Yeah. I do like my match day one squad for potentially it default into my best player to captain.
Yeah, could be interesting. I think, and you know, the thing I've said an awful lot as well, FPL... I know it shouldn't be, but we usually take that a bit more seriously, don't we? Whereas something like this, just have fun with it. Don't worry about what, you know, everybody else is doing. Everybody thought they had it absolutely nailed in the Euros. And then, like I said, France and Spain got knocked out and it was absolute mayhem after that. And the people that saved their wild card were loving life in the round of 16. This could be the same, or it could be completely different. So just play it as you want to play it and just have fun with it, because I can't even remember where I finished in the Euros.
Yeah.
Because
you don't put ranks from these tournaments in your bio on Twitter. No, it doesn't matter.
Unless you won it. Lovely stuff. Right, Gianni, I'm going to go back to the main screen now. I should say as well, before we finish, Scout has loads of stats for the World Cup. They've got loads of things in there. So if you're a member, get in there. If you're not a member, pay for it, get in there, and then you can use it for FPL after as well. So make sure you do. We'll be coming at you with content every week, which would be great. So it's not always going to be me and Gianni. I think I'm on with FPL Harry a few times as well and a few different people, but it should be great. And obviously, we're looking forward to it. Gianni, thank you so much for joining us this evening. I hope you enjoyed it.
Thank you, mate. I had a great time, and I hope I'm back with you at some point in the next month or so. I'm looking forward to playing the game. And guys, before we leave you, do make sure you hit that like button. Only 37 of 220 have liked it.
Over 220 of you, though. Thank you so much for joining us. And like Gianni says, like the stream. And make sure you go online and say how much you enjoy the stream, because Az loves hearing about that as well. Right, we'll see you all after match day one and once the World Cup has kicked off. Thank you very much for joining us. Bye-bye.